Hey everyone, this is Todd. Before we start the show today, we're testing the Blueberry's advertising injection system. So I placed this spot in front of a number of my shows. So we'll have this up temporarily for a few weeks as we're testing the system. And that being said, I want to encourage each of you that are listening to the show today to visit our sponsor, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Now we'll get on with the regular program. This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you for the final time from Honolulu, Hawaii. The lead stories are Play Store changes coming, Chrome browser extension privacy changes coming as well. The WWDC is next week. Sounds like a wrestling event, but not quite. And Nancy Pelosi is at war with Facebook. I want to welcome you to episode 1370 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, May 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. We are audio only as the studio has departed the pattern. Talk about that here in a few minutes. But if you're new to the show, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Real easy to get subscribed to the show. Get hooked up with our newsletter as well. That way you won't miss a single episode of the show. The show notes contain everything, or the newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about, which will also be included in the show notes tonight. So get signed up for the newsletter if you get a chance. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com. You can listen to the show on your smart home device as well by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or ask to be part of our Slack family. Some good conversations have been going on there recently. You can do that all via email at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can follow me at Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Yes, this show is supported by our good friends at GoDaddy, the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And some of the deals have changed, or one specific deal has changed. The 99cent.com is gone. It's been taken off the playfield and replaced with a $4.99 offer for .com. The 1 month free, basically the dollar a month managed WordPress hosting and a dollar a month economy hosting, which both include a free domain on a 1 year subscription for $12. Get you going still. So a dollar a month for 12 months, get you a free domain and get you an economy hosting account or a managed WordPress account. The 30% discount code remains the code that is probably the most underutilized here at Geek News Central. That code can save you a lot of money on the additional products and services that GoDaddy have. Matter of fact, I used it myself this morning as I'm trying to buy a domain. So I saved 30% on the domain name purchased agreement. So, or basically the agent agreement. So I use that today. And then, of course, we've got the GoDaddy website builder. And that's for you with businesses, personal plan, business plus. All those are a 30-day free trial with the website builder. Again, check all these deals out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. We're down here to the end of the month. We'll see how we did in May. Been doing a little tweaking on the website, and I hope that all of you will continue to share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Link up to it in Facebook or Twitter. If you have a blog, you know, link up to it in the blog post. Share my codes. That allows me to do what I continue to do in the way we're doing it. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, and I want to thank all of you for your ongoing support and supporting GoDaddy.com. Well, folks, the container is gone, and it weighed in at 4,900 pounds. Not bad for mostly non-furniture. You know, very, very little furniture inside the container. And so I was, my wife thought it would be much heavier, and it wasn't. So we'll see how it does going across the pond. The ship departs tomorrow. They've got an app for that. I can track the progress. At least I think once the ship departs, that's what the app's going to do. We'll see. But the ship departs tomorrow, and then we'll be in Long Beach in about a week, and then switch, the container will move to rail, and then we'll see how it progresses across the United States. I fly out of here on Saturday, heading towards Michigan, get in Sunday morning. My brother-in-law is going to pick me up. Shoko and Chris may join us or join me for a couple of days. She's trying to work it out, so she's got the vacation time. Just got to see if she can get, she's trying to fly Space A with her benefits. So we'll see if they join me for a few days in Michigan. But it is pretty interesting. This has been a 14-year run here in Hawaii. We're just shy of 15 years since I've been producing the show in Hawaii. Of course, I, you know, produce the show when I'm on travel as well. But, you know, this kind of wraps up an era of time. So I'm looking forward to making the jump. And then Monday I'll be back with you in Michigan doing a show. Again, audio only. Format will not change until, you know, we're going to start working on, or I'm going to start working on the layout of the new format for the show. And old habits die hard. So be taking a serious look at it and seeing what I can do to up the game, I guess. And I've got some good ideas, and I would suspect that next week, beyond, you know, getting some new banking set up, additionally picking up a vehicle, probably doing some painting in the new studio. I got to get in there and take a look at things and see what I need to have done. I've already got a contractor that I think I'm going to be able to get in there relatively quick if I need to lay in some drywall. But I'm kind of excited about the potential here in this blank canvas that I have. And but I really need to sit down in the new studio location and draw out what I want. The pictures only go so far. I've only been in the space one time very quickly. So I'll probably be posting some pictures up on the website, giving you guys some insight to what it looks like, maybe some stuff in Facebook. But definitely a new chapter starts. And be 1 week in Michigan, then I'll be down in Columbus for a week. So I'm looking at my schedule down there. It's a little weird. I'm going to be doing Monday through Thursday, I think, in Columbus, and driving back to Michigan on Thursday evening. But typically Thursday evening is a show day. So I've got to make some decisions on that, because I could throw really the schedule to helter-skelter here if I, every other week, have to do a different publishing day. But I'll look at that and see what works out. I've got the studio down there, which makes sense to be able to do the show from down there. So time will tell. Maybe I'll end up driving back Friday morning early. So, and still doing the show in Columbus. But I got to keep a little bit of fiscal responsibility going on, because I'll be staying in a hotel, you know, a couple weeks a month, and an extra day here, extra day there, you know, adds to the bottom line considerably, especially if I don't need to be there Friday for business. So that kind of, you know, kind of wraps up what we've, you know, been on a heck of a ride here. I remember coming back from Texas in really October of 2004, excuse me, and telling my wife, I'm doing this thing called a podcast, and getting that look. What's a podcast? What's it mean? And we've been on quite the journey together. If you think about it, many of you listeners have supported me by coming to events and providing really essentially labor, and doing it for a love of the show, and supporting me, and graphics, and, you know, just the list goes on. I can't even start to go through and thank everyone for everything that has been done and what contributions people have made to the show over the years, because it continues, and the show is going to continue. So the show is not ending. just a new chapter here. And I kind of fibbed a little bit. I'll be doing shows back in Hawaii, but it'll be when I'm coming back here every 6 to 8 weeks to take care of family business. And so there will be some more shows here in Honolulu, but the bulk of them will be done from either Michigan or Ohio. So it's going to be an interesting change. But I did get some feedback on email that came in. I do want to read that before we get into the content tonight. The first email came in from Lamar. He's out of Chicago. He said, "Hey, Todd, you were pronouncing Huawei incorrectly. I'm glad you found the correct way to say the word. It's easy to make the mistake when you're not familiar with the language. My coworker is an avid Huawei fan and Chinese, so I've been informed of the correct way to say it." He says, "It's not racist. As a longtime listener, I'm accustomed to know that you'll make incorrect pronunciation of words. That's just you. Keep the content coming. Thanks, Lamar, for your content, for your email. Appreciate it." Yes, the famous Todd-isms. I got an email from Jack. He says, "Hey, Todd, you've been producing audio programs for 15 years. So I've been disappointed with the audio quality of the last two GNC podcasts." So he said, "On GNC 1969, I attributed it to your head cold, but I listened to 1370, and it sounded like you threw a thick winter blanket over the mic before you started talking. Now, what I'm using is the MixPre 6 and the Beyerdynamic Dynamic headset I've always used, but I'm wondering if there is some post-processing that I've been doing that I do on all the audio that I produce here that's causing a problem." But anyway, he said, he said, "Listen closely to the audio, and it was not good. I think you focus too much on outboard audio processors and equalizers." Well, there's really no the only outboard processing that is done is Ophonic, which I've run on the episodes for years, and then one other filter that I run in Audition. I'm going to leave that out tonight, Jack. We'll see what see if that filter's causing the problem. He said, "I also listen to the Daily Tech News show with Tom Merritt. They produce a show on YouTube Live and use a Heil PR40, which is a USB mic plugged in directly into a lap. The Heil PR40 is not a USB mic. It's an XLR. I've got one. So they must be using some adapter." He said, "The sound is consistently great. For a long time on the road, audio has been inconsistent and muffled." Yeah, I think there is. It's because of the headset. It really, really is. And not having an actual physical mic to talk to. You know, and what it really is size. And I understand that you want me to look for a better mic for the road. But if you have to have a stand, it just adds more to the dynamic. And it isn't always easy to put a mic on a desk. But I'll definitely look around. But the XLR recording system that I've been using, the MixPre 6 that I've been using here, is pretty phenomenal piece of gear. It's got to be something in the post-processing that's messing it up. He said, "On GNC 1369, you had trouble pronouncing Huawei and asked listeners for help. Apparently, it's not the only one to pay attention, so you received multiple responses. On GNC 1370, you pronounced it correctly the first time ever." I swear I've been saying Huawei. I didn't think I had changed in a while, but I have to go back and listen. I like the others, went out of your way to take the time to get an audible link to the correct pronunciation. The only one that was really, truly correct was the YouTube video that was out there. And he says, "I also add a link to the pronunciation of a logarithm," because I like to say logarithm. I'll grow them. I had still kicks my butt. "So I send you this constructive criticism to prove GNC, your product, not to criticize you. Your response was to probably discard the advice and say, a logarithm. To me, it sounds the same. The pronunciation is a minor thing. I have been listening to you for 15 years and had heard all your Toddisms. I grin at those unprofessional errors as you acknowledge them and continued on, but you are now the CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation, and these mispronunciations give you the air of misinformed. But you're throwing help to try to correct your error by proudly mispronouncing a logarithm." I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go and listen to it about 1,000 times. So anyway, you've created a successful company with great products by being who you are. So I'm trying. So who am I to try to change it? I'll stop trying to correct your errors and wish you all the best success, Jack. Oh, it's okay, Jack. Thanks so much. Not trying to throw them out. Throw the commentary out. But maybe it's just my lips are incapable. I got a nice email from Stuart. And what I responded back to Stuart privately on the email. But Stuart, thanks for your commentary. And I'm glad that the contest we had a number of years ago really helped your situation. And it's heartwarming to know that sometimes it's the unknown things that make a difference. So, but I do appreciate your feedback, and I've given you some insight. So thank you for that. So anyway, everyone, go ahead. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to drop me a line. And if you have any comments about today's show. But as I said, Monday in Michigan, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see if I'm a zombie, because it's going to be busy. I'm going to be very, very, very busy. It's going to be full on, full throttle. Matter of fact, I put an ad out for an intern to help me out in the Coldwater area. A college student that's home that's maybe looking for intern, and we'll see if I get any response to that. It's been 24 hours, and so far nothing. But there's always someone that's willing to do some grind work, and I'll get that going once I get situated. So let's talk a little bit about Android. Google said that the Play Store has added new rules, and they basically are saying sexual content, hate speech, and anything to do with marijuana. In addition, there's also a new policy that requires loot boxes, and I don't even know what that is, but loot boxes to give the odds of winning before purchasing. So what you need to know is Google expanded what is prohibited in regards to sexual content, hate speech, and tobacco products. Apps are banned from selling marijuana, e-cigs, and counterfeit goods, obviously. And then loot boxes must provide you with the odds of receiving the item before purchasing. And it goes on to say that while there was already policies in place against sexual content, it mostly covered depictions of sexual acts or escort services. The changes to sexual content policy now goes a step further, including depictions of nudity, or content that is lewd or profane. And it does go on to say that nudity may be allowed if the primary purpose is educational, documentary, scientific, or artistic, and is not gratuitous. Similar section on hate speech has also been expanded. So they basically talk about compilations of assertions intended to prove that a protected group is inhuman, inferior, or worthy of being hated. Apps that contain theories about a protected group possessing negative characteristics, like malicious, corrupt, evil, etc., or explicitly or implicitly claims the group is a threat. Also, content or speech trying to encourage others to believe that people should be hated or discriminated against because they are a member of a protected group. So these are some of the changes. Of course, the marijuana change basically said that regardless of the legality of it, where you live, apps will not be allowed for the use of ordering of marijuana, assisting in the delivery or pickup of marijuana, or facilitating the sale of products containing THC. And of course, tobacco products are also in Google's crosshairs. Google's new policy prohibits apps that facilitate the sale of tobacco, including e-cigarettes, or encourage irresponsible use of alcohol or tobacco. And Google was even going after real-world intellectual property thieves with a new section that bans the sale of counterfeit goods and apps. If you come across this happening, you can fill out a form to report it. Well, they can start by, well, most of counterfeit stuff is coming in out of Alibaba. Google has also added or set new policy that extensions, Chrome extensions, will be required to minimize access to user data. So what this means is the major change is all extensions will now be required to use the minimum set of permissions necessary when asking for access to data. So if a task can be accomplished through multiple routes, the extension will be required to take the one that requires access to the least sensitive amount of data. How do they, I wonder how they actually define that. Do they have a list top to bottom of what's sensitive and what isn't? On top of that, Google also began requiring more extensions to post privacy. On top of that, Google also began requiring more extensions to post privacy policies in the Chrome Web Store. This requirement is already in place for extensions that require personal and sensitive user data, but now it's being expanded to extensions that need access to any kind of personal communication or content generated by the user. So this is going to, over 90 days, developers have to get their act together to get that implemented. The WWDC is right around the corner here. Next week, thousands of people will flock to San Jose to nestle into their seats at the convention center and listen to Apple unspool its vision for the future of software. They'll get their first concrete look at iOS 13 and learn what it means for their phones and tablets. Of course, they'll hear more about the gap between iOS and Mac is how it's starting to shrink. And Apple kick off the show in earnest with a keynote on June 3rd at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll definitely be watching this. There's no shortage of rumors and innuendos, but obviously iOS 13 is coming. They're expecting some information about updates to iPads. There's talk about Mac OS 10.15 and what's going to be happening there. So Siri shortcuts and a variety of different things that are going to be popping out. Going to talk about watches and home connectivity. And they expect a significant overhaul of Apple TV. And maybe even some new hardware. At last year's WWDC, we didn't get as much as a hardware refresh. And so we'll see if this is the, if we're going to get some serious updates. And we may get a look at the new Mac Pro, and there's a decent chance it will no longer look like a trash can. Matter of fact, my trash can and my iMac appear to have made it okay to Michigan. Those were two of the expensive items that I shipped via FedEx. We got two more boxes to go to FedEx tomorrow. But anyway, that is what we may see. We may even talk about some more information on the iMac as well. So it's hard to say, but we'll definitely be reporting to you on Monday night's show what happened during the primary keynote at WWDC. This next topic is an interesting one. And we talked a little bit about it on the last show. A little shot of H2O here. Senator Nancy Pelosi is coming out swinging. And she says Facebook is lying about Russian manipulation. Now, after Facebook refused to take down a doctored video of her that made her appear drunk, of which YouTube and other online sites have removed copies of, she went on attack. She said that the social media network's willingness to leave up an obviously false video shows that it was an innocent shows that it wasn't an innocent victim of Russian intelligence, as it had claimed. I think, she says, Facebook's have proven by not taking down something they know is false that they were willing enablers of Russian interference in our election. Pelosi went further in accusing Facebook of not being as innocent as it claimed in 2016. She says, we've said all along, poor Facebook, they were unwittingly exploited by the Russians. I think wittingly because right now they're putting up something that they know is false. I can take it, but Facebook is lying to the public. Facebook is, of course, facing political pressure from both Democrats and Republicans, with the right accusing it of anti-conservative bias and the left saying it's become a tool to manipulate elections in the U.S., and, of course, presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren even called for the social media network to be broken up, saying on Twitter that I want social media marketplace that isn't dominated by a single censor. Interesting how they are starting to use the word censor now, but it's not because their content's being censored, it's because content's being left up. I guess Warner said she noted, however, that with regard to Pelosi's video, not all platforms act in the same way. It wasn't even a close call. The video is sexist trash, she said. YouTube took it down, but Facebook kept it up. I'd love to hear you guys what you guys think about this. It is interesting that they would leave a knowingly false video up. Now, one thing they did implement is if you try to share that video, I'll be honest with you, I tried looking for it and couldn't even find it. So it must be on certain political sites or something. But apparently when you try to share it, there's a warning now that it's a fake video. I don't think I ever see warnings like that saying something's fake. So it is curious that they didn't pull it down, that they left it up. So it's the opposite of censorship, right? If something's not taken down, they didn't censor it. It's more of a fact that they didn't remove something that was knowingly false. But she's not happy, and I can understand why. If they can do it to her, they can do it to anybody. You know, someone can start manipulating videos of conservatives just as quick as they can of liberals. So, you know, this is a two-way street here. If you live in New York, facial recognition is coming to U.S. schools starting in New York. The first school district in the U.S. to pilot facial recognition will switch it on next week. The Lockport City School District in New York will start testing a facial object recognition system called Aegis, according to BuzzFeed News, that will make it the first in the U.S. to pilot a facial recognition surveillance system on its student and facility. The district installed cameras and software suite back in September, and using 1.4 million of the 4.2 million funding it received through the New York Smart School Bond Act. Funding provided through the Bond Act is supposed to go towards instructional tech devices such as iPads and laptops, but the district clearly had other plans. BuzzFeed got a copy, its hands on a copy of the letter distributed to the students' parents, and it describes Aegis as an early warning system that can notify officials of threats. The system created by Canadian company SN Technologies can apparently keep track of certain individuals in school grounds. It includes level 2 or 3 sex offenders, anyone prohibited from entering the school, and anyone believed to pose a threat based on credible information. The system can also identify students and staff who've been suspended, but it's unclear if Lockport will use it to monitor those who've been suspended over nonviolent offenses. According to the letter, though, Aegis will delete footage after 60 days, and it won't record the movements of students, staff, and visitors that aren't in the list of individuals to monitor. That said, the system will have to analyze everyone's face to identify people it has to keep an eye on. In addition to being able to recognize certain individuals, the software is designed to recognize 10 types of guns. The letter even talks about the necessity of facial recognition system in the context of school shootings. Part of the letter says, while acts of violence in schools continue to occur in our country, parents can be assured that Lockport City School District continues to make the school security a priority. So what do you think about facial recognition in schools? I'm mixed on this. I really, really am. I don't know why they have to store the data for as long as they do. To be quite frank, if someone's suspended for a week, maybe that person's image should be in for a week, not for 60 days. And again, these are students. These are, you know, minors. And parents, I would imagine, are going to be concerned about this data, especially if it's not firewalled and analyzed off-site. Don't know if it's fully contained or not. On May 28, 1900, the moon blotted out the sun in a celestial magic trick. Modern technology has allowed film experts to put the footage online, where in a feat of time travel, you can watch it. The path of the total solar eclipse stretched across Mexico, the southeast U.S., Iberia, and North Africa. An amateur astronomer and prominent British magician and filmmaker at the time was posted in North Carolina to attempt to capture the passage of this solar eclipse. In order to share the footage, film conservators had to go through the clip frame by frame to assemble it. So they took all his pictures and made a video of it, which is pretty cool. So you can see this really short video, and you can watch the solar eclipse, and you can imagine in the 1900s, you know, how he had to work pretty fast to be able to get as many images as he did. So nice little trick there with the modern day video editing software out there. Over on Lifehacker, the best browsers for ad blocking that are not Chrome. And it really goes into some that I'm not familiar with. Brave, didn't know about this blocker, but it's one of the smartest choices for blocking ads. The browser was built specifically as an ad-free experience, has built-in ad blocking capabilities and anti-tracking tech. It also uses secure HTTPS almost everywhere on the internet, plus no ads being loaded means a faster browsing experience compared to most other options. Firefox is on the list, Opera's on the list, Chromium and Edge are on the list as well, of course Tor, so the link is up in the show notes, you can check it out. Twitter, study was done. This is really amazing here. Using Twitter as an education tool brought test scores down among literature students in Italy, says a new study. Scores on a standardized test were reduced between 25 and 40% of a standard deviation, says a paper published this month by researchers in the economics and finance department at the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart in Milan. Twitter use caused more harm to female students, Italian-born students, students attending in Lyceum, whatever that is, L-Y-C-E-U-M, the highest form of high school in Italy, and students with higher baseline test scores. Using Twitter to teach literature has an overall detrimental effect on students' average achievement, says the study. The paper also says teachers relying on Twitter-based learning are getting lazier, knowing that students will somehow be assisted by their own peers and by the central unit. Why would you teach via Twitter? In Italy, Twitter-focused TW Literatura as a way of teaching has already been adopted by about 250 schools and 14,000 students. The TWL organization chooses a book, creates a hashtag, and establishes a reading schedule that the school adopts. Students then tweet and comment on their favorite sentences or quotes. I'm going to tell you know, based on my experience, oh man, people don't read more than 140 characters. You send a multi-sentence set of instructions to someone, you're going to be lucky if they get through the first paragraph. Maybe they'll get the first sentence and ignore the rest. I've seen this for years. I'm not surprised. But anyway, this study, again, reduced standardized test scores 25 to 40%. Maybe time to going back to teachers making an assignment and written hand-ins instead of tweeting their thoughts on a book or something. Game of Thrones star has dropped a huge spoiler for upcoming books. So this article that is linked up in the show notes, I'm not even going to go into it. So only read this if you want to know what George R.R. Martin has in store for Song of Ice and Fire readers. And again, bunch of spoilers here. So be aware, if you're a fan of the book series, do not read this. If you don't care, you can find out, I think, how he ends the series. And, you know, in the book form, not in the movie form. Experts are not happy about the FCC's rosy picture of broadband access. Matter of fact, I was on the phone today with a company called DMCI at my mom's place. The highest speed internet I can get in a rural area where I'll be living, not where I'll be working, is 15 megs down, 3 megs up for a whopping $89 a month. And she has put up, my sister has like a $5,000 tower, so the antenna is higher. So they're going to come out and do a survey and probably put another antenna on the tower because I don't want to share bandwidth with my niece and nephews. So that's a rosy picture of internet access in rural America, at least where I'm going to be living. Now, in the office, it'll be better, but it won't be as good as I have here in Hawaii. I'll be definitely going backwards when I'm in cold water. But there's enough bandwidth with using a Wowza server and everything else. I think I'm going to be okay for the video. 5 years ago, I would be in 100% freakout mode, but I think we're gonna be okay. Just see how much it's going to end up costing me. If I want to go to a much higher speed dedicated connection, it's very expensive, and I don't want to go down that route. Currently spending $300-$400 a month, which is sheer insanity, to be honest with you. But this FCC report tells us this is a golden age for broadband. And from the Agency on Digital Divide, the gap between rural and urban internet access has narrowed. And more Americans than ever have access to high-speed broadband. Between the end of 2016 and 2017, the number of Americans without broadband access fell from about 26 million to 21 million. But experts, even some commissioners at the FCC, say the report is flawed. The data underlying it, now check this out, doesn't truly capture what broadband looks like in rural America. Because guess what? Who submits the data? The broadband providers. Broadband providers provide the data. It's not from independent collection of speed. Using a form, the companies report on the census-derived blocks where... Okay, so let me read this again. And we must have accurate data about the problem we're trying to solve and the progress we're making towards solving it in order to make effective data-driven decisions. Generate the report. The FCC relies on data from service providers using a form. The companies report on the census-derived, what they call blocks, where they serve customers. Questions about the 2019 report started before it was even released. Even an FCC press release put out in February trumped in major gains in access. The nonprofit advocacy group Free Press noticed a major flaw in the figures. A small carrier called Barrier Free erroneously reported it served census blocks with nearly 62 million people, which would make it the fourth largest internet service provider in the country. And those folks only really served 2 million versus 62 million. So I guess it's the census block is what they call the area. A block would be 250 square miles. And why don't you just collect information from users? That's how you tell how fast the internet is or isn't. 5G has arrived in the UK, and they say it's very, very fast. Probably using Huawei. EE turned on the UK's first 5G network today across London, Edinburgh, Cardiff, Belfast, Birmingham, and Manchester. 5G connectivity is now available in limited parts of these cities more than a month before rival Vodafone plans to launch its own. Some folks took to the street using a OnePlus 7 Pro 5G handset, and we're seeing connections in the 250 megabits, which was pretty impressive considering that what they saw before was about 25 on 4G. But considering it's supposed to be as high as 980 megs, that's a little bit of way off. Now, the best speed that the person recorded in the area was around 510 meg, close to the popular area of Covent Garden during the peak lunch hour. So, but they say the 200 meg speed was pretty consistent. But the worst part about this current 5G implementation is that upload speeds are the same as 4G right now. And the max that they hit during the testing was a measly 33 megs. I'm having a, my phone was ringing. I'm having to tell him, no, I don't think so. He's asking if he broke his screen. He put in a cheap screen on his iPhone 7 that I gave him that he had broke once, put a screen protector on it. And then the screen protector, apparently he bought a cheap one or he whacked it. I don't know exactly what, but he claims, at least to me, that when he took the screen protector off, the screen cracked again. I'm thinking, the screen protector doesn't break, Chris, unless you've whacked it and maybe you broke the screen at the same time. He denies it. But anyway, he's spending his money to get another screen. The last one lasted 4 months. So I think his mother's taking him to a repair shop that I trust instead of having the last time he had some dude come to the house and do the repair for $100. So I'm sure he's just using his cheap screen parts. So anyway, going back to this 5G article, starting to see a little bit of rollout here. Samsung is reporting they'll strip the Galaxy Note of its headphone jacks and buttons. And of course, Samsung has been one of the last flagship manufacturers to still ship a headphone jack. I'll be honest, sometimes whatever they call these things, these earbuds, they connect right up real quick with Bluetooth on the phone, and sometimes they just refuse to connect. It drives me crazy. And it's usually when I'm in a hurry. You know, I take them out of my pocket, stick the earbud in my ear, and you can usually hear, dong, you know, it connect, and it just doesn't connect. Close the lid, open the lid, take the earbud out, it's turn Bluetooth off, turn Bluetooth back on. It's insanity. Every once in a while it gets in this loop. About 80% of the time it works right. The other 20% of the time it just refuses to connect, and it just drives me crazy. So Bluetooth is not perfect. Some of those times I wish I had earbuds that were wired, to be frank. So if you're a Galaxy fan, you're losing your earbud connection. Little news out of Hawaii. Hawaii's warning tourists of a parasitic worm that can burrow into human brains. The health department here has reported 3 more cases and people have visited the Hawaii island, the big island of Hawaii. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed 3 new cases from the U.S. mainland. The latest known victim, who became infected at different times, bringing the state's 2018 cases total to 10. There were 17 cases in 2017 in the parasitic worm. In these cases is the rat lungworm. As its common name suggests, the wandering worm primarily takes residence in rats' lungs, but somehow it makes it onto lettuce and stuff through slugs, because the slugs pick up the parasite, and then the slugs walk across or crawl across produce that will end up being ate. So it tells me stuff's not being washed. Department recommends the visitors and residents carefully inspect and wash all produce and store it in sealed containers. It also recommends that farmers and gardeners try to control snail and slug population. Here in Hawaii, especially, I have to put a sprinkle for slugs about once a month. And you can see it out in the morning. You'll see the slug trail. They're bad here. Really, really bad. And something that you have to stay on top of. So we spray and sprinkle pellets. And you just, if you don't do it, you just all of a sudden you wake up and one morning you see slug trails everywhere. So it's a big issue here. But wow. So anyway, come to Hawaii. Check your vegetables that you're eating. Or better yet, just eat meat. Netflix plans to raise the prices in the UK by up to 20% if change follows a price increase for those of us in the United States. So the HD streaming plan will increase by £1 to $8.99. Well, a premium subscription that supports 4K will increase by £2 to $11.99. Again, I think that's pounds, not euros. So that's something I need to look up. How can I tell if it's a pound or a euro? Anyway, that is the increase to the price. Gogo is going to bring 5G to North American skies by 2021. So 5G for those of us flying in airplanes. I'm to the point now where I very rarely ever get Wi-Fi on the airplane. It's my only time I can be fully disconnected, and it's a joy to be disconnected in the air. So, but anyway, for those of you who like to be connected, 5G coming to North American skies by 2021. The U.S. Navy is deciding if they're going to equip a destroyer with a laser weapon system. And this is, sign of the times. You know, the U.S. military has been embracing laser weapon system. Now it appears that the Navy is going to install a Helios laser defense system on an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. It may deploy the system by 2021. Doesn't say how many ships it's going to employ, but We'll see what that number ends up being. Sprint's 5G network has gone live in 4 cities today. So Sprint confirmed this rollout. So if you live in Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, or Kansas City, and you're a Sprint user and you have a 5G-capable phone, portions of those cities have been turned on to 5G. And the new LG V50 is going to be the first 5G smartphone available on Sprint. And the carrier may eventually sell the Galaxy 5G Galaxy S10 as well once its Verizon exclusivity ends. So we'll keep an eye on that. Have you ran through a Checkers drive-thru recently? A point-of-sale malware has been found at 102 Checker restaurant locations, and lots of information, of course, being obtained, including security, your magnetic stripe information from your credit cards and so forth. I guess they're going to be advising credit card companies of those that were affected, so we'll see where that goes here in the next few weeks. I'm on CNBC. Uber stock rises as net loss matches its expectations. Uber reported earnings for the first time as a public company on Thursday with a net loss of $1.01 billion for the quarter, in line with analyst expectations. The company reported total revenue of $3.10 billion at the top end of its preliminary estimates for the quarter. So that's still lost $1 billion and made $3 billion. That's crazy. It really, really is. So Uber's net income fell into negative compared to its net income of $3.75 billion in the first quarter of last year. So we'll see where this goes. But definitely Uber is still bleeding cash in a big, big way. Google Maps has updated some of its functions and bringing some Waze data into it. So Google Maps speed limits and radar locations arrived in 40 countries, and I apologize for the background noise. The family just arrived home, and my wife's getting stuff out of the freezer, if you can hear that in the background. I'm at the kitchen table. So Google Maps is basically putting radar location data, and it'll appear as a icon in the map function. So this is after running limited tests in the U.S. and elsewhere. So it's rolling out these speed warnings, both fixed and mobile radar locations in over 40 countries. And Google's confirmed the features are borrowed from Google-owned Waze and will appear in the iOS and Android maps. The speed limit signs are located in the bottom corner of maps, and the radar and photo radar traps appear as icons on the virtual roads. So this is going into Australia, Brazil, U.S., Canada, U.K., India, Mexico, Russia, Japan, Andorra, Bosnia, and Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Czechia, Estonia, Finland, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Israel, Italy, Jordan, Kuwait, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Morocco, Namibia, Netherlands, Norway, Oman, Poland, Portugal, Qatar, Romania, Saudi Arabia, Serbia, Slovakia, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, Tunisia, Zimbabwe, to roll out this info. I don't know if we have any listeners in Zimbabwe or not. But you can look at where you're going to get set up to get a ticket. A little more information on T-Mobile and Sprint. They're being told they may have to set up a new carrier to get the merger approved. The U.S. Department of Justice wants T-Mobile and Sprint to create a new national carrier with its own infrastructure. What would that mean? Would T-Mobile and Sprint have to continue? So they want to create a new national carrier to get their $26.5 million. The new network cannot be an MVNO. It has to be a full-fledged network with its own infrastructure. Essentially, the DOJ wants 4 national carriers even after the merger goes through. Wow. What's the point? What's going to happen is this merger is not going to happen, and Sprint's going to go bankrupt, and we're going to end up with 3 anyway. That's what's going to happen. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. Does this make any sense to anyone? That they're going to allow T-Mobile and Sprint to merge, and then they're going to have to launch a whole nother company that will compete with them? It really does not make any sense whatsoever. Many of you have SSDs in your computers now. And you do realize that SSD drives, when they fail, they fail. They go very, very quickly, just kind of like a spinning hard drive. So if you have a suspicion something's going on with your hard drive, whether it be a spinner or an SSD, testing your hard drives could be, sounds like a thrilling way to spend an afternoon, but this is something you need to watch out for. Because when an SSD starts dropping a few sectors, it won't be long before that SSD is toast. And when they go south very, very quick. Check disk is your friend on a Windows machine, obviously. And it's underneath the drive properties. You can find that in tools. That'd be something you can run. Of course, there's the smart analysis application as well. From a free app called HDD Scan. It can give you a run and blow-by-blow report on your hard drive. And, of course, there's a variety of other tools in this report that I have linked up to for you in the show notes. Huawei has quietly launched a 5G lab in the shadow of the U.S. ban. The Chinese company didn't invite media to the South Korean event, but they did invite a bunch of companies. And I guess they've invested up to $5 million in a lab, which is located in Seoul. And this will be the Chinese telecom's first open next-generation wireless network. It's a development center where other companies can test their platforms, but media, again, were not invited to the event, trying to lay pretty low. From LEGO, NASA launched a 1,087-piece Apollo 11 lunar lander set. So this is available. What's going to be the price on this thing? Let's see if it's $99, and it's available through the LEGO shop, and it's going to be available on June 1st. So if you're a LEGO fan, 1,087 Apollo 11 lunar lander set available June 1st. Hulu is reporting that 70% of its 82 million viewers are on ad-supported plan. Of course, Hulu sells an ad-free version of its streaming service, just like Netflix. But the majority of Hulu subscribers are on the $5.99 a month ad-supported plan, which is half the price of the $11.99 no-commercial version. Hulu has previously disclosed subscriber numbers around 28 million earlier this month, but it hasn't broken out those by plan type, which they have now. So that's an interesting number. It shows how many people are willing to still have some ads and pay the lower price for the privilege. Finally, today are 7 warning signs it's time to upgrade your Android phone. And I won't go through these. They're all pretty basic. You know, battery's not charging, the device is running slow, new apps won't run, that kind of stuff. All right, this is going to wrap me up here for this episode of the show. This is episode 1370. I'll be in the bag here. Be back with you on Monday with a new episode from the new location. But if you have comments on today's show, definitely send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. Definitely think about becoming an insider. It's a great way to continue to support the show at a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation. And it's 6.7 cents a day if you're on the $2 plan. And definitely appreciate those of you that are. I've told Kirk, plan on a show on Monday, so there will be no delay. We'll continue right on with the regular schedule. And I do thank all of you for being here with me. We'll talk more about the relocation and move on the other side, but it's been a pleasure. We're ending an era here of doing shows in Honolulu for over 14 years. Almost made the 15-year mark on that, but it's been an exciting run. All right, everyone, well, thanks. We'll see you on Monday. Everyone take care. See you next time. Aloha.